Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts. Station.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
This is a sacred moment between a boy and his father.
Say what you're trying to say. What kind of weirdo are you?
Jeff Lutz.
And it's frustrating when you don't hear me, because I'm speaking very clearly with direct language.
I can feel the love.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
And you're invited to partake of it.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. I am not Bob, so it must not be Bob and Jeff. It must be Bob or Jeff. And today it's Jeff. But who's Bob? Bob is David Michael Hahn. Or am I Bob and you're me? It's very confusing.
I am confused by it. I'm okay with being Bob.
When Bob is not here, the hierarchy gets all out of whack. No one knows who's who. Am I Jeff? Am I Bob? Am I David? Am I Max? It's impossible to even know. But you are...
David Michael Hahn.
David Michael Hahn.
Back in the booth, ready to go. Recognized around this office.
You know, we're going to talk about my experience dropping my daughter off at Kansas State University.
Day one, which is
why I'm wearing the K-State dad shirt.
I was going to say, day one from dropping off and you're already rocking the K-State dad shirt.
Why wouldn't I? I've been a K-State dad now for several months. It just so happens that now she is at the school. She'll be attending classes beginning Monday. But she's been locked in on Kansas State for several months now.
What's she going to study again?
Fashion design.
That's right.
And I bring her up first to say that on Monday, we were going out to dinner. We were in the car. You got brought up somehow. I don't remember exactly how. But, you know, you're a good friend and things like that occasionally.
Friend of the family, even.
And she said, well, why do you call him David Michael Hahn instead of just David? Or I don't really have a good answer for that, but it just fits you.
Thank you. There's actually a reasoning behind why people call me that.
What do you mean people?
Well, some people call me. Most people call me DMH now.
What does your license plate say?
To my car, it says Haunter.
Why doesn't it say Haunted?
Well, Haunter is a Pokemon, my favorite Pokemon. Introduced my girls to Pokemon this morning, FYI. Haunter is my favorite Pokemon, and with the last name Han, I just threw in an extra
H. So is that why you're lashing out at me for wearing the shirt? Are you a little jealous? Is that what it is? Like, you're... I'm experiencing these real milestone moments. I'm dropping my kid off at college. She's taking the next step and chapter in her life, and you're watching Pokemon.
My kids can barely...
Is there anger there? Is that what this is?
My kids can barely step, let alone take the next
step. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, there's no anger. I'm excited for you. I feel for you. I checked in on you yesterday to make sure you're okay.
I did. I wasn't really in much of a talking mood yesterday, but I did my best.
You sent me a very short response, but I knew you were okay, so I was good with it.
Yeah, I said, I'm fine. She's good.
Am I lashing out at you?
Yeah, I felt like twice now you've brought up the shirt that I'm...
Well, brought it up off air. The people didn't hear it.
It feels like ridicule at
this
point.
There's no ridicule.
One time maybe, you know, a playful little jab, something I could deal with. Twice, that feels like there's some genuine animosity there.
No, I did it off air. No one heard it.
But again,
I wanted people to hear it. It's good radio.
But if it was out of your system, I'm saying you wouldn't have brought it up on air.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you'd really let it go the first time. Well, that's all I'm saying.
I might bring it up again.
I feel like you will.
Those watching David cast at home have seen that you're already wearing it. So.
It's a nice shirt.
It's a great shirt. I can't wait to... I have... my daughter has one that says Oklahoma State daughter.
Oof. She's never going to wear that.
She wears it all the time.
No. I mean, like when she starts to be seen in public.
When she starts, she'll be too big for it by then. It's not a very big sweater.
I would recommend not getting the next size.
Is it because of the daughter part or the Oklahoma State part?
What do you think?
Probably the Oklahoma State part. You hate Oklahoma State.
I don't hate Oklahoma
You've been a
State.
Long time I'm notorious just, I'm just, Oklahoma State hater on this
I'm
show.
I'm not an Oklahoma State hater. I'm just embarrassed for people who like Oklahoma State.
What about those of us that went there?
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, that's fair.
What are you doing with all that T. Boone Pickens money?
A lot of good
Going
stuff.
Going 9-4. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
I'm saying.
Who is your team before K-State?
Cleveland Guardians.
Okay.
I have one.
What
team.
Have they done with all the whatever money
we
they have?
We don't have any money.
They can't
we have
run.
The best week in baseball.
They can't
best,
run.
What did I say?
Best freaking baseball.
Best week in baseball. What did I say? Best reek. Best record in baseball is what we have.
Well,
and
we'll see
what,
how
that's
that
trans- what we're doing with
we'll
our
see
money.
How that translates come September and October.
We will. Okay. We sure will. And we'll see how T. Boone Pickens translates in December. 9-4.
We'll
Holiday
see.
Holiday Bowl.
I don't know.
Next.
I don't know. Big 12's wide open now.
Yeah, it's wide open. And I was perusing ESPN.com the other day. It had the top 25 with their ceiling and their floor.
Okay.
And I wrote down a few.
I would love to
obviously
hear them.
Obviously, the ones that pertain to us here in Kansas. KU.
Okay.
You know what their ceiling is, according to ESPN?
It's like how many wins they're going to
yeah,
have?
Yeah, record.
7 wins.
7 is their ceiling?
I'm just guessing.
That's the best they can do?
That's my guess.
KU ceiling, according to ESPN, if everything goes right, 12-0.
Wow.
And I agree with them.
Wow, okay.
Because
you seem genuinely shocked, so I thought it was going to be lower.
Well, there's a shock when the football program at KU
well, sure.
is estimated by any measure to go 12-0, even if it's pie in the sky, best case scenario.
Well, they don't play OSU this year. So.
Usually, well, that may be part of it. Their
might
schedule
it.
Is a little light.
Yeah.
They play at West Virginia.
They play Colorado like 3 times.
At least. They play at West Virginia in the Big 12 opener, which is going to tell us a lot about both teams. We had the West Virginia guy, their sideline reporter, and we'll continue our Big 12 previews today. We had the West Virginia sideline reporter on, and it was kind of shocking to learn or / remember that West Virginia won 9 games last year.
Wow, I did not remember that.
And they returned a lot. They added some pieces in the transfer portal. West Virginia might be a threat.
Is that on your ceiling and floor list today?
No, I didn't.
What's the
they're
floor
not
for
in the
KU?
Top 25. The floor is 6-6.
Okay. I was but close. My ceiling was on the floor.
There's no way. There's no way. No way that KU loses 6 games.
Well, I hoped I
don't know how I don't know how ESPN came up with that. So that to me lessens their credibility a bit. I can maybe go with 12-0, but KU at 6-6?
Interesting.
That makes no sense.
I think it could happen. I think they're either going to have 12 wins, somewhere between 12 wins and zero wins.
Well, that's probably true.
I
but
think
find
that...
6 losses in this schedule, even if things go absolutely horribly.
Okay.
Let's just say worst case scenario is a loss in any of these games. Versus Lindenwood. No way.
Okay, that's fair.
At Illinois. Okay,
yeah.
We'll mark that as 1 loss. So they're not going to lose that game.
Sure, but
we're
it's
trying
possible.
To get we're trying to get to 6-6 here.
We're doing our best.
Home against UNLV, I would say no.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
At West Virginia, okay, we'll say that's 2 losses. Home against TCU, I guess now you could say they could lose any of these, but they're going to win that game. And then they're going to win at Arizona State, then they're going to win against Houston at home. At Kansas State, maybe a loss.
That's probably a loss.
Iowa State at home, that's a win. At BYU, let's say loss. Home against Colorado, loss, I guess. Baylor, that's the only way. There's no way.
What riveting analysis that was.
Well, I'm just saying, how do you get to 6 losses if that's actually KU's floor? There's no way.
We,
you can't.
Should we make it interesting?
How?
I'm gonna come up with some sort of... one of us has to buy the other a lunch or something if they go 6-6 versus 12-0. Whoever gets closer to 6-6 to 12-0.
Okay, well, I'll take 12-0.
Okay, I'll take that.
So 9 wins would be the push.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can deal with that.
You're okay with that?
We just found maybe 3 realistic losses in there. Maybe. They're not going to lose at Illinois.
I saw
they might lose at West Virginia. They might lose at Kansas State. Other than that, that's 10 wins.
Guess
so I win the bet. So we just pay it off now?
No, we can wait.
K-State's ceiling.
12-0.
You would think.
I would think more
you
than KU.
You would think it would be 12-0, but it's not. It's 11-1.
Wow.
What would be the automatic loss on their schedule? There isn't one.
Do they play OSU?
They do. They play OSU at home.
I mean, Lord knows that they find ways to lose to them a lot.
So... That's true.
Yeah. K-State's been very good. Now, granted, they don't always lose to OSU. I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying that there's been a lot of years that K-State's been pretty good, and they still have lost to OSU.
It happens.
It happens. There's your loss.
Or at West Virginia, or at or home against
KU. Or KU, according to you.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
12-0.
KU could be 12-0.
If they're 12-0, then K-State's going 11-1.
Is Oklahoma State the only separator between a ceiling of 12-0, which KU has, and a ceiling of 11-1?
I think the separator is KU versus K-State.
But
because they're saying KU's going to go – I assume KU and K-State play this year.
Yeah,
I guess that's the first question.
October 26th.
So they're saying KU is going to go 12-0, and if KU goes 12-0, that means K-State has at least one loss.
Right, but that's the ceiling.
Right.
So K-State could win that game. The floor for KU 6-6, so one of those six losses would be against –
This is getting convoluted. What's K-State's floor?
6-6 also.
Wow.
I don't see six losses on their schedule.
I would be more shocked about K-State having six losses than KU.
Home against Arizona, okay. Home against Oklahoma State could be one. At West Virginia. Home against Kansas. At Iowa State. Those are the only even possible losses, and that's only five.
Did you mention OSU?
OSU, what do you think their ceiling is?
Probably 10-2.
Yeah, that's correct.
And their floor is probably 9-3. That's what they
Pretty
always
much.
Are. That's what they basically always are.
That's what Oklahoma State is. Their floor is 5-7.
Wow, no bowl game.
I hope that happens. Oh, my God, do I hope that happens. And then can we fire Mike Gundy and get a real coach in there and be serious as a program? Is that something that we can do?
No. Why would we want to do that?
Why would you want to get serious as a program?
Teach me how to Gundy.
You don't really like him, do you?
I like Mike Gundy.
You do? What do you like about him?
Oh, as a coach or as a person?
Either.
As a person, sure, I love him. I think he's
you
a
do?
Great, I think he's a great personality. I've met him several times. He sort of knows who I am.
What? Why?
Because I made a video in college. Feel free, those that are watching or listening and watching this radio.
The Dave cast.
The Dave cast at home. It's the David cast. There's no Dave.
I'll call it what I want.
We made a YouTube back in the day called Teach Me How to Gundy.
Yeah, I saw that. It was horrific.
It's terrible. But it has like almost 60,000 views. So
why?
Because, well, what happened was Mike Gundy danced at after they had a big win either that season or the next season, and somebody else made a Teach Me How to Gundy remix of him dancing. And so people started YouTubing that, but ours would pop up and they'd watch ours. So we had a big blast.
Well, it's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it was I got recognized one time, a couple times.
And you were in a movie.
I'm in a movie. I'm in a short film as well. I've been in a pizza.
By our old friend Shane whatever's last. I don't know. Who?
Shane Kinnicky?
I know Shane.
Where's Shane? Kinnicky. Shane's in Kansas City. I was also in
Shane left us.
I was in a Pizza Hut commercial.
You were?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When? Why?
It was actually the same weekend that I was hanging out with Mike Gundy. I went to Big 12 Media Day, and then I filmed this Pizza Hut commercial for a Pizza Hut campaign they were doing back in 2015? 2015, 16, somewhere
in there.
How
about
that? Huh?
How about that? You always kind of wanted to be a media personality.
I would love to be.
When did you discover that you really can't cut it?
Many years ago, but thankfully I met you and you've let me be on here a few times, so now I'm a personality on the Bob and Jeff Show.
See, I'm trying to poke at you a little bit because that's what we do on this show.
I'm unpokeable.
Why
unless we're saying, go Pokes.
Yeah, Oklahoma State is your one poke weakness.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to hear what we have on the show today?
I would love to.
At 2:25, that's the very next segment from right now. Are you ready for this?
I don't know. What is it?
We are talking to Greg Warubel.
I am ready for that.
I assume it's probably Rubel, but it starts with a W, so yeah. We'll have to make sure.
Who's that?
He's the play-by-play guy for the Brigham Young Cougars as our Big 12 previews continue.
I've got some questions for him.
You do.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't, but you know.
Well, you know what mine are, so don't steal them.
I'm a professional, so we'll see how it goes.
Just don't steal my questions.
I will not. He's coming up at 2:25. BYU. I wonder what they're. We don't get
their. Yeah, I was going to say, what's their ceiling?
We don't get their floor or ceiling because they only did the top 25.
Oh, true. True.
But BYU plays K-State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Central Florida, Utah, and Kansas. So, ceiling 0-12. I'm not going to tell Greg that.
Well, he might be listening already, getting ready.
You think so?
It's possible.
Is he on the Odyssey app?
Yeah, probably. Hey, Greg.
I would be, right? If I was getting to
well, they might talk about me before the show,
right,
before I'm on.
I want to know kind of the feel of the show, get the general vibe.
Yeah, he's going to hate you, but he'll talk to me.
One time, you probably don't remember this, but maybe you do.
We'll see.
The Wing Nuts manager. I used to call the Wind Surge the Wing Nuts. Now I call the Wing Nuts the Wind Surge or whatever. Do you remember when the Wing Nuts manager had a tirade? You're looking at me blankly. He went off on the umpire. He shoved his armpit in the guy's face. He picked up a shoe, and it made like national news. And they were talking about it on a late night ESPN show. And I called into the, maybe I emailed, I don't remember, but I said, "Hey, I cover that team. I was at that game. I can come on the air." It was a very late night, and they emailed me back. Yeah, how's 3 a.m. sound?
You were
like,
up.
"Yeah, I'll do it." Fell asleep.
And you missed it?
I missed it.
They call you?
No, I think I was supposed to call them.
Did you ever go back and listen to the recording of them being like, this guy standing us up?
We'll be joined by Jeff Lutz at 3 a.m.
Your ego couldn't handle that.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't make that work. I really tried hard.
Wow.
But 3 a.m.?
That's late.
Man,
even
I got
for you.
Stuff going on. At
like
that.
Sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot going on.
Couldn't
say
the last time I was awake at 3 a.m. It's been years. Well, other than waking up in the middle of the night with my children, which is every day, basically.
But having stayed awake until 3 a.m.
You could take a little nappy nap.
That doesn't happen
very often. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
At 3:25, we'll talk with Shelby Wehrman.
Okay.
The head coach at what Ted Woodward, as Lou Holtz would say, the University of Cheney here in the area. Here in Cheney.
You're right.
They're coming off a 3A state championship season in which they beat Andale twice.
Yeah.
The only two losses of my daughter's high school career at Andale.
I forgot.
She didn't play football, but.
What was their win streak before they lost?
50, I don't know.
57.
I was going to say that, but I didn't think it was right.
Yeah, you could have had
Speaking of my daughter, dropped her off at K-State yesterday.
What are you wearing the shirt for?
See, you are you're an angry person.
I'm angry. I'm an angry little man.
When's the last time you went to therapy? It's been a while.
I went on Tuesday this week.
Okay, that's good. So did I, actually. Wait, was mine Monday or Tuesday? It doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think it was Tuesday. Do we have the same therapist?
It seems unlikely.
Ask me about the experience.
The therapy experience?
No, the dropping the kid off.
We're moving to that now?
Yeah, just for a couple
3 o'clock,
minutes.
Though. What's happening at 3?
Oh, we're having a game.
We're having a game. How was the experience dropping off your kid? My game.
It was okay. It was good. It was nice. I'm proud of the kid.
Okay.
You know, I cried a little. Wasn't expecting to cry because to me it wasn't necessarily. It sucks in some ways that she's not at the house, and you know when I return home tonight she won't be there. That's sad.
That is sad.
But it wasn't. It's not a sad experience.
It's exciting for her.
The fallout is sad.
Yeah.
But the experience, I'm happy for. But that's kind of why I cried because I'm. So proud of the youngster.
Well,
and I made sure I told her these things, and that's when I started crying. And then
did she cry?
Probably, yeah, I think so.
Not in front of you though. She's strong.
Well, she was in the back seat.
Oh, yeah, you just mid drive.
Well,
crying a little bit, saying I'm so proud of you. Your future is
well. It
nigh.
Was when we were driving her back to the dorm for the last time, and you know, I was
what dorm's she in?
Good now.
I have zero idea. I didn't go to K-State. My sister-in-law lives in Manhattan still. Maybe she'll look out after her.
Maybe. She's got family there also. My wife's brother and his wife live in Manhattan. My wife's brother, Andrew,
Little Apple.
is the PIO for the city of Manhattan.
Really?
That is the public information officer.
Yeah, I had no idea, to be honest.
Why don't you know these things?
What the PIO stands for? I got my own stuff going on.
You tried to be a media personality. These are things you should have.
Yeah, I failed.
Yeah.
I also tried to be Pistol Pete. That also failed.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I auditioned and tried out my freshman year.
For what?
To be Pistol Pete.
In what?
What do you mean in what? To be the mascot.
Oh, is that what Oklahoma State's mascot is?
Yeah, Pistol Pete.
I thought you were like trying to be Pete Maravich in
a movie. No. I was Pistol Pete, Oklahoma State's mascot. I almost got it, too. They told me to come back the next year and I'd probably get it, and I didn't.
Why not?
Got busy. It's a busy job. You're like busy. I was dating some girl. She would never like that.
Who cares?
At the time, I
cared. Your happiness or what some girl likes?
Then it was her happiness.
That's unfortunate. And you still operate that way?
We have a better balance now that I'm married to not that girl.
That is good.
Married to somebody else.
Emily Michael Hahn.
Emily Michael Hahn.
Good person.
She's pretty good.
All right, we're going to take a break. You ready for some BYU talk?
I'm ready, baby.
Greg Rubel?
Ready.
Probably Rubel.
Talk to you soon, Greg.
We're going to make sure that's how his name's pronounced.
Do a little YouTube on it.
That's what I usually do.
That's what I usually do.
Go see
it's out there.
Go see if he's interviewed somewhere. Or
yeah, it's not
name.
Hard for somebody to be like, hey, Greg Rubel.
Greg Rubel. Hey, it's Greg Rubel, Johnny.
He probably says his name every cast.
Exactly.
So,
but I don't care. We're going to ask him anyway. Stay with us. David Michael Hahn is here. Bob Lutz is not. He'll be back tomorrow. It'll be back to normal. Sorry, you're not normal.
It's fine.
It's Bob and Jeff on KFH. We'll be back.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's go to the IHOP hotline and talk to the play-by-play voice of the Brigham Young Cougars. That is Greg Rubel. Greg, how's it going this afternoon?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at BYU's schedule just to look at how long one of your trips might be. And you do go to Florida. Outside of that, there's not too much crazy travel. But how much of an adjustment do you think it will be, not only for you, but for athletic personnel throughout the program to be in this new conference? A lot of things are changing. Travel is changing. What kind of adjustment will that be for BYU?
Well, really not much of one at all, because BYU spent more than a decade as an independent. And when you're an independent, you're scheduling all over the country. And BYU was playing in every possible time zone, new teams every year, a few deals that were kind of, you know, home and homes. But basically, this is every year was a different looking schedule. And so I would say BYU probably traveled more than most teams because of their independence. They could really schedule anywhere, and they played everywhere. So moving into the Big 12, not much of an adjustment that way. The welcome adjustment is having league games back on the schedule and being able to check the standings and have something to really shoot for and play for. That's something players missed for a lot of years at BYU. And yet I think BYU did as well as it could possibly do as an independent. They had to deal with ESPN. They stayed viable. They stayed visible. They stayed relevant. And the P5, now P4 call came at a really good time, because they kind of earned their stripes a bit through independence. And so things couldn't have worked out any better, you know, I don't think. And the Big 12, I think, is in a stable spot. I think BYU found a great landing position. And I think the Big 12 just continues to grow stronger and more stable with Brett Yormark at the helm, making the right moves, it would appear. And so, yeah, I think things are as positive as they could possibly appear at BYU looking forward.
Now, I hear on the radio all the time, I listen to a lot of sports talk, and everyone's talking about how the Big 12 is wide open. Anybody can win it. We don't know. There's all these teams that are going to show up and show out, and we're just going to have to wait and see. And I hear all the reasons why these teams can win the Big 12, but I want to know, what's a reason in your mind that BYU is not going to win the Big 12? What do they need to focus on this year?
Well, the Cougars have to make pretty substantial gains in a lot of meaningful categories. Offensively, it was a big dip for them last year. Their third down number was under 29%. That's not terribly viable. The rush rankings were in the hundreds. It was not a great year offensively for BYU, and under first-year coordinator Jay Hill, the defense struggled primarily due to injuries and lack of depth, and that's one of the challenges moving into a power conference is developing the depth. So when, your number one guy goes down, you don't see a huge drop-off. So on neither offense nor defense did BYU really show outstanding numbers last year. They got to 5-2. They started off 3-0, including a win at Arkansas. They were 5-2, needing just one more win to get to a bowl game, and they ended the season on a five-game losing streak. And that's when the numbers began to spiral a bit. I think early on they were kind of buttressed by a really strong turnover margin, And as those turnover numbers came back down to earth and the injuries piled up, that's when the losing streak began. And so there are a lot of things to improve upon, and I think BYU is in position to improve. Once they go ahead and name a starting quarterback, we'll be able to fashion more of a concrete assessment of what this offense might look like. It's a battle right now between Gary Bohannon, who, of course, was a starting quarterback at Baylor, transferred to USF, got hurt at USF back in 2022. So it's been almost 2 years since he's played meaningful football. But if Gary Bohannon becomes that 2021-22 Gary, BYU's got a really solid starting quarterback. And the tools around him, I think, are as deep as BYU's been in some time. The offensive line needs to take a step up from last year, but they brought in a new offensive line coach to do that. And if Jay Hill, as a second-year defensive coordinator, has a little better health on his side of the ball, I don't think there's any reason why BYU shouldn't expect improvements on both sides of the ball. They bring in a transfer punter from Pitt named Sam Vanderhaar. They shouldn't lose a lot in special teams. And so getting to a bowl, I think, says BYU is a pretty good football team this year. I think getting to a bowl means the improvements have been made. Again, from 5-2 last year, guys, to going to 5-7, that five-game skid took a lot of wind out of the sails. They've got to regenerate that. And this is the season where things are at least, you know, apparently stacked up to help them do it.
Talking with the play-by-play voice of BYU, Greg Wrubell. And, yeah, let's talk about that quarterback competition. Coach Kalani Sitake really keeping it close to the vest. Will maybe name the starting quarterback in the week leading up to the opener against Southern Illinois. So is there any indication of who might have the leg up in that competition so far?
Well, both guys, and I say Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, those are the two we're talking about. It's a two-man competition right now. BYU, interestingly, is one of the few quarterback rooms in the country where they've got four quarterbacks with FBS starts under their belt. McKay Hillstead, who's a Utah State transfer, Trayson Borgay, who's a Western Michigan transfer, then the top two guys in the race, Gary Bohannon, as mentioned, Baylor and USF. And then you've got Jake Retzlaff, who started the last four games for BYU last year. But whereas Jake has started four games, Gary Bohannon's played in 34 games at the FBS level. He's won a Sugar Bowl. He's helped beat Baylor win a conference championship in the Big 12. He's made big-time starts. He's a 1,000-yard Division I or FBS rusher. He's got the numbers. He's got the pedigree. He's 2 inches taller, 20 pounds heavier than Jake. Again, he looks the part. If that throwing shoulder is back to where it was 2 and 3 seasons ago, I think you're hoping that Gary Bohannon can grab that job, because every other number says you brought him in to be your guy. But having said that, I don't think you can get through a season with just one guy. And last year was the latest indication. I mean, Jake Retzlaff came in as the replacement for Keaton Slovis when Keaton got hurt. It's so tough for teams at this level to go through a whole season, 12, 13 games with one guy at quarterback. It's so rare. So whereas Gary or Jake is battling to be the guy, they may not be the only guy this year. And so, yeah, it's an important thing. You want to name your guy, get him done as soon as possible, and then have that momentum building into the opener. But I think you just need a bunch of quarterbacks ready to go. Last year was the latest indication. You go back 10, 15 years here at BYU, there have been only two seasons where there's been a starting quarterback for the whole season. Zach Wilson in 2020 and Taysom Hill back in 2013. Other than that, they've needed multiple guys every year. That's the way it is these days.
Now, I've been playing a lot of the new college football game. I think a lot of America is playing that as well. I created my own little player running back. I actually played my first year, my freshman year at BYU, so I'm pretty intimate with your program. All the way even here in Kansas, as more of the Big 12 people maybe aren't. But my question is, how are these student-athletes handling kind of this newish fame, being in the game, the NIL deals, this getting paid all of a sudden? How's that all going down?
Well, I think basketball has made more waves with it here at BYU than football at this moment. You know, you can spread it around a lot easier amongst, you know, 13 to 15 guys than you can from, you know, 85 to 100 guys. But it is the way of the world, and it's hit football like it has every other sport across the country. And I think BYU is positioned well to take advantage of it. But they're not exactly, I don't know that they were, throwing out big numbers to get the transfers they brought in this year. I think it's not yet that way here at BYU, and it might get there. But it just feels that in basketball, where one or two or three players can make such a huge impact on your team, it's tough to do that over a broad swath of positions and players for a football team, at least at a place like BYU. It might feel different than an Alabama or a Georgia. But that said, I think the internal support is there in the fan base, in the booster population, BYU fans, and there are a lot of highly placed and well-placed in this state want the school to do well, and not just in this state, across the country. BYU has a nationwide and worldwide fan base, and there is a lot of support, fiscal and otherwise, for what, you know, Athletic Director Tom Holmo wants to get done, with support from VPs and presidents above him. I'm anxious to see how it all plays out. We're all curious to see what, you know, college locker rooms will look like and how the chemistry is maintained and how team fabrics and fibers are withheld, or rather upheld, with this new order of doing things. But I think BYU is in a good position. They'll always do it a little differently. I think Kalani's one of those guys that doesn't want to become a bidding war coach, and he doesn't want it to be all about the NIL. He wants them to commit to BYU for reasons other than that. And at BYU, which is a school, as you know, that's a church-sponsored institution, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints runs BYU, they'll always want to be operating with adhering to principles that extend beyond the fiscal and the financial and the sponsorship. And so that's something to keep in mind, too. At BYU, they want to be and have been different for a long, long time.
Final couple moments here with Greg Wrubell, the voice of BYU. So the schedule, unbelievable. They close with Arizona State and Houston, which should be fairly winnable games, and who knows what other wins are on this schedule. But to start the Big 12 portion with K-State at Baylor, Arizona, Oklahoma State at UCF, at Utah, and Kansas, I mean, I don't even know if I have a question. That's just an unbelievable gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the AP poll came out this week, and, preseason polls are what they are. We know that. But of the five ranked teams that the Big 12 puts out there, BYU's got them all on the schedule. And the top teams in the league don't have to play all of each other, whereas teams like BYU, I think Colorado's another, West Virginia may be another, where they get all these ranked teams. And so, yeah, BYU has every ranked team on its schedule. Now, the good thing for BYU is four of those five games will be at home. And Lavelle Edwards Stadium is a tough place to play. Altitude's always going to be a factor. It's a great game day environment. So that helps. The fact you've got to play four of your five ranked opponents at your place certainly does help, but it's a tough, tough slog. And even the opener on Southern Illinois, well, you go FCS team, and BYU's never lost to an FCS opponent. They're 18-0. But that said, Southern Illinois has the SP Plus rankings came out this week at the FCS level, and they're sixth. And they were a top 10 defensive team last year, a second round FCS playoff team. So you're not getting yourself an FCS gimme in the opener by any stretch. So you take on a really good FCS program, and then you go right on the road on a short week to SMU. And SMU's no gimme. That's now a power conference team. It returns one of its best offenses in decades. And that's your second game on a short week. And then you flip right around, stay on the road, and go to Laramie. You say, well, it's Wyoming, that's manageable, but I'm sure Texas Tech thought the same thing last year. They lost in Laramie. So, and we haven't even gotten to the opener yet in the Big 12. And then comes K-State, you know, one of those ranked teams and a potential league favorite coming to your place to open things up. And that's all in the first 4 weeks of September. And so we're going to know a lot about BYU pretty darn early. And then you already mentioned the gauntlet they've got to go on. It doesn't get a lot easier. You know, where are the soft spots? Well, in Power Conference football, there are so few of them, right? Yeah, you think maybe by the end of the year, Arizona State and Houston, but who knows what those teams will look like by that time of the season. So we're always surprised. There's just no easy spots, and that's why I think that for BYU to get six wins, for BYU to be a postseason team, well, that says BYU is a pretty good football team. I think relative to everything else in a good football league, if you can make it to the bowl, make it to a bowl out of this league, you're pretty good.
While we have you, I would be remiss, being all the way here in Kansas and a very big Kansas City Chiefs fan, to not ask you. I mean, obviously Andy Reid has got his BYU connection, but our newest tackle, and I'm not going to try to Jamal Charles this and say it incorrectly, but Kingsley Suamataia, he's looking like he's probably going to be getting the starting job. What can we expect as Chiefs fans from him this year?
Yeah, Kingsley Suamataia, and you did a pretty good job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Kingsley was someone that BYU's offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick called the most athletic tackle he'd worked with. And that's the raw ability you're dealing with. I mean, there will be nuances of the NFL game that Kingsley's going to have to adopt. But, I mean, you just have to see him. I'm sure you've seen him at practices and in preseason. He just, I mean, he fits the model and the mold of an NFL tackle. And he was drafted where he was for a lot of good reasons. And he was important for BYU. He was an underperforming offensive line as a group last year. But, you know, they still picked Kingsley out of that group and said that's a high-level draft pick for a lot of important reasons. Kingsley is a specimen. I mean, you just watch film on him at the college level. I mean, it may look a little different at the NFL level, but at the college level, he really jumped out. Like, he just really stood out for how massive he was on that left edge. And if I could flip it back to the current BYU situation, an Oklahoma State transfer in Caleb Etienne, who was the right tackle last year, moves over to BYU's left side to replace Kingsley Suamataia. And as good, I think BYU's offensive effectiveness this year will depend in large amount on how well Caleb Etienne can fill the shoes left by Kingsley at that left tackle spot. But yeah, the Chiefs got a good one, and the Chiefs are kind of, I think for a lot of BYU fans, kind of their adopted NFL team because of Andy Reid. I mean, Big Red there is a legend in blue here, and he is still so beloved, and everybody, I think, cheers for Andy. That's ever been a BYU fan, and seeing him have the success he does kind of makes us all Chiefs fans in a way, too.
Great stuff, Greg. We really appreciate it. BYU does have those games, home games for BYU against KU and K-State this year, so we may talk to you again down the line as we're previewing those contests. Thanks again.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And by the way, you know, getting to Kansas is something I hadn't done a lot of before joining the Big 12, but being able to get to Lawrence for football and basketball this past year. The win at Fog Allen was, you know, so memorable for BYU and Cougar Nation on the hardwoods this past year. And then playing in Manhattan for hoops, even though the result didn't go BYU's way, just being able to experience the hospitality I call baseball in Manhattan this past year as well. I've really, really enjoyed my trips to Kansas, and I've enjoyed everything about being in the Big 12, but especially going to Kansas and being in that state and experiencing the fan bases and new venues and great hospitality. So look forward to getting back every time, and thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. That means a lot. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Anytime.
All right, Greg Wrubell. Good stuff.
Great stuff.
He was a professional.
That was a professional.
That was a professional interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shelby Wehrman will be able to match that.
We'll see. Shelby's probably also listening early.
You think so?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
We just put a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, we did.
Lead singer of Journey.
Are you asking me the question?
I don't know. You don't know who the lead singer of Journey is?
I'm sure I could think about it.
Well, think about it, because this is important.
My aforementioned sister-in-law on Tuesday texted
when
that.
When did we aforementioned her?
I mentioned that she's in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
She texted that to our family group chat on Tuesday. That song.
Open Arms?
Yeah.
Wow. That may have been my wedding song, but I don't think it was.
You don't
What's
know?
The other Journey song where he talks about being on the road?
Don't Stop Believing.
No, not that.
That was your wedding song, Don't Stop Believing?
I just said no.
I find that an odd wedding song choice, but I could see it working for you.
It's not Separate Ways, no.
Tearing Us Apart?
No. What is that song?
You don't know your wedding song? I can tell you mine.
Of course I know my wedding
song. He's looking on Google right now at songs by Journey.
I am. Faithfully. There you go. Talking about being on the road and stuff. That's like the whole song.
My wedding song was The Way You Look Tonight by Frank Sinatra.
Interesting. Do you like Blues Traveler?
What?
Do you like Blues Traveler?
The genre of music?
No, the band.
No, I'm unfamiliar with
you
that band.
You don't know who Blues Traveler is?
Unfamiliar with that
what
band.
What is wrong with you?
I have a lot of things wrong with me.
How do you not know Blues Traveler? You know the song Runaround.
Do I?
Yeah, I'm not going to say
it. Is that on our list for today? Am I going to hear it on one of the... Is that
no,
a power ballad?
No, it's not
ballad?
A power ballad. It's not even a ballad. It's just a kind of a rocky rock
I like
song.
The name of their group.
I want to go see Blues Traveler in concert.
I'm in a acoustic duo. We're called The Weary Traveler. That's a great name for a duo, by the way. Don't look us up. We have nothing out there, but...
Blues Traveler's not really out there right now. That's too bad.
That's like touring?
Yeah, I would like to go see Blues Traveler. Oh, here's some.
What's your favorite Blues Traveler song?
Hook, probably. Hook? They're at the Steelhouse in Omaha next month. You want to go?
No. You didn't even get that reference I just threw at you.
What did you say?
I asked you a question, then I said, huh, before you answered.
Yeah, that's you're supposed to say, that's, yeah.
Well, you don't get that reference? Yeah.
Shorzy.
Interesting.
Have you watched Shorzy?
I did watch Shorzy.
How much?
We watched 2 or 3 episodes. I think we're hearing the song.
That's it?
Am I supposed to be listening to the song?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah, you're not. You don't have your headphones on.
Yeah, that's Hook right there.
I like
Do you know this.
This
song?
No, but it sounds good. I'm into it.
That's the point.
I'm into it.
Right. But you got to read the... You got to listen to... Well, we're not going to play the whole song, I don't think. But that's Hook.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
There's a song called But Anyway by Blues Traveler. That's
I'm
a really
sure
good song.
I'm sure it's good as well.
I think I like Blues Traveler.
I liked what I just heard.
Yeah, they're in Austin, Texas. They're not really anywhere that close. Indianapolis
in
October.
When are they in Omaha?
They're in Omaha on September 15th.
I'm busy that day, but
you know, that's
if we
1 month from today.
What day of the week is that?
That is obviously a Sunday.
That might be tough. Yeah. But I'm down to try. I got a month to listen to their music.
We could go to West Des Moines on the 14th, a Saturday.
I like Des Moines. Des Moines is a cool area.
And feel like we could get back home. For
Maybe we hit both.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a good one. That's a good idea. I wonder how much tickets are. They got to be, what, 15, 20 bucks?
Yeah. I'll just stop in Kansas City on Monday and work from the home office.
Let me see. Let me see about tickets for Blues Traveler. This could be a life-changing moment for me.
You're less excited about the fact that I watched Shorzy than I thought you would be.
Well, we're going to talk about it here in a minute, maybe.
Maybe.
But you only watched 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Does it really... You don't really have a proper perspective.
Well,
you know how much better the show gets as it goes along, and it's already amazing.
I'll be honest with you. I hope it does, because what I saw was okay.
Really?
Here's my thing. Can I give you my thoughts without you interrupting?
I doubt it.
Okay, we'll try our best.
The cheapest Blues Traveler ticket, by the way, is $45.
Which show?
That's Des Moines.
It's probably cheaper in Omaha. It was fine. I understand. I can see why it's a funny show, why people find it funny. Like, I can see the writing is good. Like, I'm like, okay, this is a show that I could understand. And it's probably a show to watch with your boys and, you know, just really bro out. It's not
a bro show.
It's too repetitive for me.
What are you talking about?
It's too repetitive.
What does that mean?
They say the same. I did repeat that. They say the same thing over and over. It's the same jokes. They do it on purpose. I don't know. Is this a Letterkenny spinoff?
Yes.
See, I never watched Letterkenny either.
Who cares?
I don't think that I'd like either show. We didn't. It was okay.
You didn't like Shorzy.
I thought it had some funny moments.
Oh my God.
But
do you not get it?
What am I supposed to get?
That everything they do is purposeful.
Yeah, no, I got that.
The callbacks are on purpose. You have to watch it with... Don't be so critical.
I told you it was very clever writing. I just not my cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea. See, Seinfeld, which is playing on here, the studio
right
now.
Yeah, that's not repetitive. Every episode, the exact same.
Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, Larry David's got this thing about when something's funny or a funny word, he likes to say it a lot, and I'm okay with that, but it's just too much. It was just too much. Man,
I'm starting to realize who my true friends are.
Why? Because I don't like a show as much that you do?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Okay. Am I one of your true friends then? Is that
not,
what you're
apparently
saying?
Apparently not.
Because I don't like that show that
yeah,
much?
Yeah, because it's, I'm shocked.
I don't like the pitch of his voice either.
It's, oh God.
It's too high pitched. It's too grating on my ears.
I'm staring a dagger through you
he
right
is.
Now.
He is.
Unbelievable. Okay.
I get that it's clever. And I might
just be me and Duda's show. That's fine. That's fine.
Don't you want to have a thing with him and we have our things?
No, I don't want to have a thing with you anymore.
Wow.
I'm done with
it. Am I even going to be here the second hour?
I don't know. Get Max your game. I'll play with
him. I'd maybe still watch it by myself, but Emily didn't like it. She didn't care for it at all. I cared for it.
My
I
wife
understood
loves
it.
It. My
that
wife
was
is...
shocking to me.
Why?
It doesn't seem like a show she'd like.
But it's good. You have to ignore, like, the stuff that is done
the annoying
effect.
Stuff. Yeah, okay.
You have to ignore that, oh, everything they do is purposeful, okay? So I get maybe, oh, no, my cup of tea, but the vulgarity, it's not to be taken seriously.
I didn't take it seriously. I didn't care about the vulgarity. I thought it was fine.
You're so stupid.
That's fine. It's fine. Thanks, everyone, for letting me be on the show these couple times that I've been on.
So here's my short
question. You probably will never hear me again.
I asked this to Duda. He, as usual, was the least helpful person on earth.
Okay.
I mean, I thought he'd at least throw out a guess or some kind of just, well, but he has no capability to analyze. So that was my my mistake.
That was your mistake.
He's not an analyst of anything.
Okay.
And can't be.
What's the question?
So that was my mistake. Shorzy has entered production for season 4.
Okay.
They tell me it's coming out in winter 2025.
Okay.
What does that mean to you?
Does that mean this coming, like, December? Or, sorry, no, this coming January, February, or
next December.
December? I would say it's this coming January,
February. That's kind of what I think, yeah. But also I'm hopeful.
Well, winter technically only begins, what, December 21st?
Right.
So I doubt it's coming in those 9 days, 10 days.
That's what I've been thinking. It's probably not going. They're not probably not going to release it at Christmas.
And if it's in production now, or is it they're done filming?
It's in production. It's begun production.
It's a tight window.
6 episodes.
I mean, you look at South Park. They do things in 6 days. So,
well, I don't know. I don't know what Shorzy's production schedule is.
I would guess January, February.
I think you need to watch the whole series.
I'd be interested to watch. Are there only 6 episodes per season?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm already almost done with the first season.
And season 3 is so good.
I will watch it. I'll make a deal for you. I'll watch it. It's just going to be slower because my wife doesn't want to watch it.
Well, she needs to watch it too.
She's so bored by it. She did not care for it at all. I thought it was clever. It's not necessarily my cup of tea.
What did she not like about it?
It's just not her. It's not. It's her not a cup. Not her cup
boring,
of coffee.
So what was she bored by?
She was bored by it. It was boring to her. That's not her thing, man.
Fine. That's great. That's great. Great.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know. I'm going to buy one Blues Traveler ticket. You're going to be out of here. It's a lot of things are going to change now.
You're going to fly to you're going to fly to Des Moines?
No, I wouldn't.
You're going to drive alone then without me?
It's only $110.50 for two. Maybe I'll go with my wife.
Wow, I am already cut out.
I'll ask if she wants to go.
Okay, if she doesn't let me know, I'd love to road trip with you.
Seriously though? I thought you were just saying
that. Truthfully, I would love to road trip with you. I just don't know if I can.
Of course. All right, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, I want to play the game.
You are struggling.
You're struggling?
Oh, I'd love to road trip with you. Really? No.
No, well.
That's you right there. Oh, I watched Shorzy. That's great. Do you like it? No, I hated it.
I didn't say I hated it.
You did.
I did not say I hated it.
I know you didn't say it, but you said it. You said it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Let's take a break. I'm so disgusted right now. We'll come back with hour number two. It starts with a game from David Michael Hahn. Is it a competition game?
Can be, but no, it's not.
Okay. And then we have an interview with Shelby Wehrman, the Cheney football coach. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up. Bob and Jeff, KFH.
Radio. Radio you can touch.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Let me just turn around here. The Willard Garvey Crime Prevention Citizen Activist Award.
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
What crime are you preventing? Are you out there
nabbing bank robbers?
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for...
Welcome back, hour number two of Bob and Jeff. Man, I'm perked up because the bed for that little intro was Smuggler's Blues by
Blues Brothers.
Not Blues Brothers, not Blues Traveler, Glenn Lewis Fry.
GLF, baby.
Max, by the way, it is Max.
Time to play the game.
I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Well, I've never created a game for the show, but I've created one.
What's the name of the game?
College Countdown.
College Countdown.
Yep.
I'm going to be terrible at this.
Yeah, I know. It's in honor of you taking your daughter to K-State this week.
I did. Yesterday.
You're wearing a shirt about it. And
you can't let that go.
I can't let that go. I have so much anger toward you, as much as you do coming back to me at Shorzy.
And Blues Traveler, and so many things.
And so many.
And you don't know the lead singer of Journey, and it's just
Matthew Perry. What? Glenn Perry? What was it?
Steve
Perry. I was close enough. Mr. Perry. So, in honor of you taking her to college and everyone starting school back up, I've got a list of celebrities, and we're going to have you guess where they went to college. Now.
Why is that a countdown?
I don't know. It's just, I like alliteration.
Okay.
So, obviously, you're going to have no idea on some of these, so I actually have multiple choice for you.
Okay.
If you do know ahead of time, I'll give you a chance to, you can guess. If you guess wrong, you lose the point.
I don't get it. If I don't know, I shouldn't guess.
Correct. Because you get 3 points.
Well,
you get 3 points if you get it right without me giving you answers. You get 1 point if you get it right when I give you the answers. And you got to get to 15 to win.
You know what I'm going to do as a defiant act, right?
What?
Guess on all of them.
Well, then you'll lose.
First time.
You're going to lose. I don't care. You can guess on. I don't care. There's one thing to keep in mind, though. Several of these people did not attend college. That will never be an option. I'm not going to say high school every time, but there are some here that did not attend college.
Then what am I guessing?
Well, I'm going to give you the guess. You have to guess if they went to high school or not. It's high school is the fourth guess. You have 3 choices, and high school is always your guess. Your multiple choice.
Why?
Because that's the way the game is played.
Why don't I just get the colleges? Why couldn't you just pick people at the colleges?
Because some people didn't go to college.
But right, so why can't you just pick people who went to college?
I don't know. I ran out of time.
Go.
Do you want me to skip the people that were in high school?
No,
I can skip
I'll
them.
I'll do it. You can do whatever you want. Just do it. Just do it.
We're going to start on an easy one. Get you warmed up. Eric Stone Street.
Kansas State.
Wow, you got it right. That was the easy
Greg
one.
Greg Williams, calm down out there.
That was the easy
if
one
if you're listening.
For you.
I don't need that.
I did say K-State because...
I don't need that monstrous laugh in my studio.
K-State because we, you know, mentioned K-State.
I don't care. He's laughing because he doesn't know what songs are programmed on KYN.
He had a degree in sociology.
Yes, he did.
Don Henley.
He went to the University of North Texas.
Wow. I was wondering if you'd get that
one. He also went to Stephen F. Austin briefly.
Wow. That's
6 points.
That is 6 points. I can't count. He did. I should give you an extra point for knowing that, but I'm not. Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric the Entertainer went to Southeast Missouri State.
I was a little concerned that you would know some of these. I'm going to skip Stephen Vogt because you definitely know that. Stephen Vogt.
Maybe I don't know that.
Oh, woo.
Give me some choices.
Vanguard University, Jessup University, or Azusa Pacific University.
He went to Azusa Pacific.
Golly, he's killing it. Let's make him a little harder for you. Hillary Duff.
Oh, man. Did not attend college.
She did attend college.
Okay.
Harvard, Princeton, or Yale?
She did not go to Yale. Did she go to Princeton? Yeah, she went to Princeton.
She went to Harvard.
Ah, I was going to guess that.
She did the extension program and was all pumped about it. And the Harvard real, I put in quotes, Harvard people got mad about it because they're like, really, Hillary
Why did
Duff?
You pick Hillary Duff?
Because you mentioned her yesterday as one of the 3 people you'd want to have dinner with if you could have dinner with anyone.
She went to Harvard?
She took the Harvard extension program.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yesterday.
Speaking of people that you want to have dinner with, by the way, you never asked me back on who I'd want to have dinner with.
Yeah, well, I don't do that.
Denzel Washington.
I don't reciprocate.
Denzel Washington.
Questions. I come up with my own questions.
Are you paying attention?
Yeah,
do I have to be Bob and get mad at you for being on your phone?
If you want to. Bob's on his phone all the time during the show.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, give me choices.
He went to either Monroe College, Manhattan College, or Fordham University.
He went to Fordham.
He did go to Fordham.
Yes.
On a basketball scholarship. Well, I don't know if he had a scholarship, but he played basketball there. Okay. Todd Glass.
Todd Glass did not attend college.
That is another one that you wanted to have dinner with.
Yes.
Todd Glass did not attend college. That is correct. You're killing this game. Noah Lyles.
Noah Lyles. He's the sprinter.
He's the sprinter that's been in the news a lot recently.
He might not have gone to college, but let me hear some choices.
University of Florida, Florida State, or University of Central Florida?
Whew. What? That's tough. I think he went to Florida.
He was committed to go to Florida, but ended up going pro at 16, so he did not go to college.
He did not go to college.
He did not go to college.
I said that, right?
We'll keep it in the news. Kamala Harris.
Kamala
Harris.
Choices.
Oh, sorry. We're doing her where she went to law school, because I went to law school. She went to either UC Law San Francisco, USF School of Law, or the Golden State University School of Law.
Second one.
USF School of Law?
Yeah.
Wrong. She went to UC Law San Francisco. This is not a question. This is not toward the points, but do you know where I went to law school?
Yeah, Syracuse.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Give me points.
I'm not giving you points. She did go to Howard University for undergrad. Donald Trump, keep it in the news. Max, really?
Is he in the news?
I mean, we're just, I'm doing the political candidates.
I don't want.
Donald Trump, where did he go to college?
Choices.
Did he go to college?
Yes, choices.
Brown, Dartmouth.
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 Or University of Pennsylvania.
He went to Penn.
He did go to Penn.
What, 10 minutes?
Studied economics.
I'm so fired, Max.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson of The Office fame.
Yes.
He went to college.
He did go to college.
I'm going to guess, though. I have 15 points easily, I'm sure, by now, right?
You're at a 14, I think. I did not think you would know Cedric the Entertainer, to be honest.
Of course I know Cedric the Entertainer. Craig Robinson went to... He went to UCLA.
Wow, no. He's a Missouri Valley guy.
Okay.
Either Missouri State, Illinois State, or Southern Illinois.
Oh, I think he probably went to Illinois State.
He did go to Illinois State.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That is correct.
He wouldn't be caught dead at Southern Illinois, let's be honest.
He was actually a teacher. He has a master's in education from St. Xavier University.
So I've won the game is what you're saying.
You want to stop playing?
No, I don't want to stop playing, okay. But I feel more...
You did win the game. You did win the game. I'm impressed.
I feel freedom for...
I was going to say 20, but 15. Let's see if you get to 20. That's the bonus game.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, I want to say, did not attend college.
He did attend college.
Okay. Where?
Either Nassau Community College, Kingsboro Community College, or Bronx Community College.
Kingsboro.
Nassau Community College.
I knew you made up Bronx Community College.
It was a real place. These are all real schools.
But you made it up, though.
Eva Longoria.
Why her? Texas.
Your guess is Texas University? University of Texas?
Yes.
No. She either went to Texas A&M, Texas Tech, or Baylor.
I was pretty close.
You were good with Texas, though.
She went to... Texas Tech.
She went to A&M.
Gosh darn it. Yeah. I didn't think she would go to A&M.
I know.
She does not seem like an A&M type of girl to me.
I know.
She seems like
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, give me choices, but I don't think he went to college.
Florida Atlantic University, Florida A&M, or University of South Florida?
He's from Tampa, so I'll say South Florida.
He did go to South Florida, although he dropped out to pursue a music career.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
He says that Pearl Jam wanted him... Or was it Metallica? One of those two bands wanted him as their bassist.
George Lucas.
He went to college.
He did go to college.
Choices.
Cal Berkeley,
yes.
UCLA, or University of Southern California?
Ooh, I'm going to knock out UCLA. Have you ever watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I've seen it.
And
you're doing a little 50-50.
And they don't know the answer,
yeah.
But they'll just knock out one of the answers.
I know, it's
because it doesn't sound right.
Right.
And UCLA doesn't sound right.
Okay.
And I don't remember the first choice, so I'll say USC.
The first choice was Cal Berkeley.
Cal Berkeley.
You're going to go with Cal Berkeley?
No, I'm going to go with USC.
Good choice. It was USC. Look at you. I'm not going to... Well, I'll take score still. Howard Stern.
Howard Stern went to college.
He did go to college.
He went to college somewhere in New York, I'm sure. So let's hear some...
Your options are Colgate, College of the Holy Cross, or Boston University?
He went to Boston U.
He did go to Boston U.
Yep.
Look at you.
I'm pretty good at this game. Did I get 20
yet? You
said
New York, but he went to Boston
U. That's close enough.
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore went to college.
Okay.
Choices.
Los Angeles City College, West Coast University, or Los Angeles Valley College?
Los Angeles City College.
Drew Barrymore did not go to college.
Then why wasn't that a choice?
It's always a choice. I told you that.
But it's supposed to be a choice in multiple choice.
It's always a choice. It's always D. I said that. William Shatner. I've got three left.
Okay.
William Shatner.
Maryland.
Either McGill University, College St. Michael, or Ascent College, all in
Canada.
Montreal.
What are the choices?
McGill University, College St. Michael, or Ascent College.
Well, I think College St. Michael I don't think you're smart enough to make that one up.
He studied economics at McGill University.
McGill University.
I am smart enough to make that up. Jim Carrey, also a Canadian.
He's also a Canadian. So let's hear some choices.
University of Toronto, University of Waterloo, or Western University?
He went to the University of Toronto.
He was a high school dropout. And finally, to get you to possibly 20 points, if you get this right.
I'm at 19.
You're at 18.
Oh, so I got to get it on the first guess.
You got to get on the first guess is Max Power.
Max Power did not attend college.
Max Power did attend college.
He went to.
I'm going to give you. You get a guess for three. I'm going to give you a hint for two, and then I'll give you your options at one.
Let me guess first, just so I can win.
Yeah. Well, you win. You can still win at two.
Okay.
I'm going to get a guess for three first.
So I guess now?
Yeah. And then I'll give you a hint.
He went to Long Beach State.
He did not go to Long Beach State. He did go somewhere that somebody else on our list has gone. That's for 2 points.
He didn't go to, I don't think he went to USC. Where were the California schools? Did he go to, I don't know. I don't remember.
So, okay. Your options are either University of Penn, Harvard, or Boston U.
I guess he went to Boston U.
He did go to Boston
U. You didn't go to Boston University.
I most certainly did.
I want to see your degree.
19. Well, he didn't say he graduated. Did you graduate from Boston U?
I got a scholarship transfer from junior college to BU. Got a radio job. Said, why waste my parents' money on books anymore? But I went. I had enough to graduate. I just.
Then you graduated.
Yeah. Well, I didn't attend or anything. I had a radio job.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Him and Howard Stern, both radio guys from Boston.
Radio gods, not radio gods. Radio gods from Boston University.
What did you think of the game? You had 19 points. You won the original.
I won the original, didn't win the bonus, so, you know, it's bittersweet.
Yeah, for sure.
We do what we can around here.
Yeah, I maybe didn't add it correctly, but it's fine. I got a little flustered keeping score.
I think I probably got 20.
You probably like 30.
At least.
I knew you'd probably know Don Henley.
Yes.
Obviously, Eric Stone Street. Shocked about Cedric the Entertainer. And I'm shocked you didn't get Stephen Vogt on your first guess.
Yeah, I should have because Azusa Pacific, my mom went to Azusa High School. And
well, I mean, there's such a, like, I was hoping he went to somewhere just like I'd heard of, you know, but it's like, I'm like, how do I mask that
one? Yeah, I just wasn't, I didn't remember. Obviously heard that and I remembered.
For those that don't know, that's the Guardians manager.
Guardians manager who was on Jim Rome today.
Wow.
I need to go back and listen to that.
I missed that part.
I'm gonna have to.
You're gonna have to. They don't play tonight, so you got something to do.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And I work tonight at the Windsor game.
Do you?
It's brilliant.
I'm gonna come down and see you.
You can come up and see me.
Okay. It's dollar beer night or dollar hot dog.
Are you
night.
Going tonight?
No, probably not.
All right, stay with us. We'll come back and talk with the Cheney High School head football coach, Shelby Wehrman, coming off a state title. Looking maybe to repeat. I'm sure that's what they are looking to do, in fact. They probably want to win it again. So he's coming up next. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Bob back tomorrow, by the way.
Wow.
I know people are clamoring.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's go back to the IHOP hotline and talk with Shelby Wehrman, the head football coach at Cheney, coming off state championship. Shelby, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you. It's getting a little antsy for football practice to start. It seems like we have to wait forever. But
yeah, it is. It is a long wait this year. Because of the late start, the late end. But I'll ask you to look back just for 1 second. When you reflect on last year, what are the images or the thoughts or the words that come to mind, especially the way you won those two games against Andale?
You know, it was like a storybook dream season. Just the way that our kids were able to fight through the unbelievably adverse conditions and come out and not give up and keep fighting and really have such fond memories of those guys, the way that they kept playing for each other.
Now, don't hold it against me, but I played against Cheney many times when I was in high school, and we never beat you guys. So I won't tell you where I went. I went to Independent. That was another time, another day. I saw some articles that referred to last year's team as the team of destiny, and you guys kind of had this chip on your shoulders. You're coming back from a tough 2022 campaign. You guys kind of had this pact, hey, we're going to win it all in 2023. How do you guys, and how do you specifically, avoid the championship hangover and have the similar tenacity and expectations this year going into a new season?
You know, that's a good question, and I have been wondering that since the spring. How do you keep from getting complacent? Because that's probably a lot of the concern on my part, and I'm wondering what the guys are thinking. But there's been a lot of talk with the seniors this year about, you know, doing a repeat. And again, kind of like last year, though, I thought when they told me that, you know, got off the bus and, coach, we're going to beat Andale twice and win a state championship. I just thought, well, yeah, that's talk. We'll see. So, but they backed it up and they worked hard for it. And we've had a good summer. And so guys have been in the weight room. They've been working hard. And I have every reason to be as optimistic this year as I was last year. Now, granted, a lot of things went our way last year, and who knows if it'll happen again that way. But just really proud of the way our kids have prepared so far this summer.
Talk with Cheney football coach Shelby Wehrman. Who do you open with, Shelby? Because I'll say one thing. When you're defending state champions, I don't think you have to keep your Max Preps page updated. That's one of the perks. But I would like to know who you're opening with.
Holcomb. Who we saw in the playoffs last year.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's not an easy opener.
No, not at all.
So, yeah.
They return.
Go ahead.
Quarterback, and they got a good team. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, you talked about kind of this group and still having that optimism. What have you seen so far in this group? Because obviously it's not the same team. There's some turnover. There's some changes. What have you seen so far in this group as far as kind of maintaining that edge?
Well, the same work ethic by a lot of the guys that I saw last year, and just kind of that look and that determination. And, you know, we were just after school here, school just got out, and I just had a couple seniors ask me, hey, coach, can we have two-a-days next week? And I said, no, that's, you know, Acacia policy, can't do that until the week two of practice. And they said, well, could you give us something to work on? Like if we just met in the morning on our own, could you? And so that took me by surprise, because I think that speaks volumes. They're thinking about ways that they can get better already. And so not as encouraged as I've been since June.
I can understand now why you guys whooped us every year, because I dreaded two-a-days and any kind of practice of any kind. But, you know, we commonly found ourselves down big to Cheney and other teams in the league. You guys found yourselves down big a few times last year in dire points of the year, down 22 and 24. Both times you played Andale, and down against Clay Center in the quarterfinals toward the end of the game.
Right.
You know, I want to know, just for my own sake, but also for all the listeners, I mean, what are you telling the kids at this point, and what are you going to tell them this year if you find yourselves down again?
I never focus on the score of a game. Focus is always, you know, let's play our best. If we're making mistakes, if we're down, it's about getting better, and, you know, let's get going. And that's my outlook and perspective philosophy. So when the Andale game, that first one especially, you know, they return the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And, you know, so as soon as we get on kickoff return, why, it's all about, let's get something going here. And then, well, we didn't get anything going there. And then they go and score again. And then we don't get anything going. They score again. And I'm starting to think, boy, this is this going to get ugly, or what's going to happen? And at that point, I think, you know, we start to correct some things. Just one thing, you know, let's get a couple first downs. You know, look at the kids, and you just keep encouraging them to get better. But overall, I think the kids themselves knew that they weren't playing as well as they could have, knew that they had it in them. And they, regardless, they just weren't willing to give up, period. And so I think that spoke more than anything that the coaches could have corrected, because it's about the kids and the way that they go out and perform. So I remember a college coach that I had. He said, it's a player's game. And, you know, coaches, we can have the best game plan, but players got to go execute it and do it. And coaches can have a terrible game plan, but the players go out there and they can make coaches look good. So, you know, it's the players are the ones that get out there and get it done. So a lot of credit to those guys for their attitude and their approach.
Shelby Wehrman, our guest from Cheney, he's their head football coach. So you have your quarterback coming back. You have one of your better linemen, offensive, defensive as well, coming back. Well, two different players there. But who are some of the guys you'll be depending on to replace what you've lost? And who are some of the guys that you've seen this summer that have been doing the right things?
Yeah, Josh Burdick is our quarterback that's returning, and he just impressed me. This summer, I mean, even back to last spring, the kid works tremendously hard in the weight room and just has a big drive. Doesn't want to ever make a single mistake. And so he's just working his tail off this summer. He texted me last night and said, is the weight room going to be open in the morning? And, you know, I was kind of letting the kids have a few days off. I opened it up for him this morning. He's the only one that showed up. And I didn't announce it to anybody else, but that's his work ethic and style. So he's definitely a big leader on the team. AJ Quick, one of our linemen, he's a three-year starter, going to be a three-year starter this year. Garen Campbell, the same. And then Colton Roloff, they've all started on our offensive line since they're sophomores. So they're going to be big into that senior leadership. We lost a good core of athletes on our wide receivers, but we got guys, Jace Robertson, Carter Pointner, Cameron Eastman, Dietrich McDaniel, Parker McClellan. They're all going to be guys that have the capability of being the kind of athletes that we had on the field last year. The numbers are there. Just we need to improve and play a little bit faster on the field. But Levi Self, he's been our fullback for the last 2 years, and he's just putting on a lot of muscle. So we got a lot of guys that are able to step up.
Now, I understand the importance of kind of that coach player friendship on and off the field. I know that it meant a lot when I was playing. I'm still friends with some of my coaches from high school. In fact, I even played a YMCA basketball league with one of my basketball coaches, and a Cheney guy for that matter. But I know that you kind of have this, you know, friendship with your guys on and off the field. Tell me how that's been impactful for the team and for yourself.
Well, I guess, I mean, I don't hang out with the guys after school hours at all, but I just want the guys to know that I care. And getting into education, one of the biggest things that resounded with me was the saying that, you know, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's just life, really, and being caring about others. And so whether it's injury, academics, or performance on the field, I'm trying to help these kids reach their dreams and reach their fullest potential. So it's just something I enjoy having in class, joke around with. The other coaches on our staff do a great job of building relationships with the kids, and it feels like a fun family to be around, and that makes our time together so much more enjoyable than if it was just a job or, you know, feeling like it was a grind. So, you know, we're in it together, and we all know that it gets tough, but when you're side by side with your buddies, then it makes it a whole lot more meaningful.
Last moment here with Shelby Wehrman, the Cheney football coach. So you don't play Andale this year. What do you think of your schedule and kind of what's the league looking like?
Well, our schedule doesn't include Andale in the regular season. I'm sure if we make it that far, we'll see him in the playoffs.
Yeah, you'll meet again, no doubt.
Our schedule is a lot tougher than it was last year, starting with Holcomb. And then we go to Hoisington, I think the fourth or fifth week of the season. And they're, you know, they went to the state title game in 2A. Kingman, they've established that's week number two. And, you know, they've established themselves as one of the top three teams in the league. Jordan Plain, they're probably going to have their best year in the last eight, at least seven. And so they're going to be a tough school to beat. We just really don't have, and Collegiate is in our district this year. So really don't have the light games that we had last year. And so it's going to be more important, I think, that we stay healthy. And our league is, we only play three schools in our league. And so that's, they don't have a whole lot to say about our league because I don't know much about the quality of the team since we don't see most of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll congratulate you one last time on last year's state championship and undefeated season, and I know you're eager to get it back going again this summer and fall. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, as the season continues. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being on the show.
All right, thanks a lot. How do you feel?
I feel like they're going to be pretty good this year.
He's always good.
Yeah, they are. It was annoying.
Anytime you get a challenger to a team that has established some level of supremacy, like Andale had over the previous 10 years, you like that, especially when it's a team that comes from the area and that can, you know, sometimes, not this year, but occasionally see them on their regular season schedule.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, it's going to be a tough schedule. A lot of those teams he mentioned are teams we played that were good back when I was in high school, and they're just always good, and it's really annoying. But it's good for them. I'm glad. And they will probably have success this year.
No doubt. Let's take a break. Come back. We will have one final segment.
Wow.
It's a wild card.
I have nothing
Anything
left to talk
goes.
About.
You got nothing?
I got some stuff.
Well, if you want to. I mean, I got a couple things, but if you want to bring up your things, we'll do your thing.
I'll think about it.
All right. Every time I see a song that might not be on one of my playlists, this would be on the Great American Rock Superset, of course.
How's your...
I got to make sure...
How's your musicals?
Oh, this is not on.
Musicals playlist going.
How is this not on my... Unbelievable.
You have failed as a playlist maker.
Beth is on it. Open Arms is on it. And I'm Coming Home would not be on it because he's not American.
Do you have a non-American?
Yeah, I got Rock Around the World.
Rock Around the World, so there's no Americans on that?
Jackson Brown's on both.
Oh, wow.
He was born in Germany, but we think of him as an American.
Sure, of course.
So I put him on both. Is that fair?
I think that's the fair move.
Yeah, that's all you...
I'm okay with that.
And there's like Foreigner has both.
Well, it's Fleetwood in the name.
Mac has both. Yeah,
right.
America has both. So you got to kind of...
pick and choose.
Exactly.
How's the musical one coming along?
We got 430 songs or something. Like, I've taken a break from it.
Too much Hamilton.
There's no such thing as too much Hamilton. It's
too much Hamilton.
Great American Rock Superset now has 1,047 songs.
Wow.
It's a good playlist.
It's a good playlist.
I did add it up, the genre specific playlist. So
right.
we now have show tunes, American rock, rock around the world, hip hop, R&B, country, pop.
You've made that many playlists.
Yeah. I added up the time of them, 29 days of music.
You need a hobby. Well, I guess that is your hobby.
I have a lot of hobbies.
Like what? Besides that?
I drum.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How often?
I have drums in my house. I drum quite a bit.
I mean, give me like weekly averages.
3 or 4 times.
You drum 3 or 4 times a week?
Probably.
I didn't know you played the drums.
It's fun, yeah.
Should we start a band?
I'll play the drums.
Well, I wasn't hoping you'd play something else.
I'll sing too. I can sing and play the drums at the same time. Like
I love when drummers
like Don
sing.
Henley.
I love when drummers sing.
Well, you don't see it very often.
I saw it this last weekend at the Candle Club.
Who did it?
The drummer for the group, their name was Scandal. They're pretty good, actually.
Candle at Scandal?
Scandal at the Candle. The drummer sang a song. He didn't sing many songs, but he did sing.
Yeah, but I'll sing a lot of
he
songs.
Sang, he sang, I think he sang Play That Funky Music, White Boy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to do one of these nights. I'm going to play and sing that professionally.
Emily plays piano and sings, so we could get her involved.
You could do a little Desperado.
I mean, there's nothing for me at that point. I'll just manage.
We'll do a little Desperado.
I'll manage.
Waste of time.
I can play like 6 chords on the guitar.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You only need to know like 4.
Yeah, true. I don't know if I know the 4, but I know 6.
You don't know the 4?
The 4 that you need to know.
Canon and D?
I can play canon and D fully on the guitar. That's it, though.
That's like the chords that you need, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's every pop song, or so I'm told.
Okay, well, are we doing pop?
We can do whatever.
What's our band name going to be called?
Unknown Clothing or Unknown Pants.
I like Unknown Clothing. Did you just make that up?
No, I've been thinking about that because every time, like on the police scanner, when they're looking for somebody, they describe what they're wearing, and sometimes they say Unknown Clothing.
Because they don't know what they're wearing.
Or Unknown Pants.
I love Unknown Clothing. I think that's a great name
better
for a band.
Better than Unknown Pants?
Yeah, I like it better.
Okay, well then that's our band name.
I've been in a couple bands.
Not names as good as those.
No, well, the Weary Traveler. I still think that's a great name for an acoustic duo. And then there was the Sexy Deck of Cards. It was a band.
Not good.
And then there was Big City Dave and the Han Dynasty.
Is there a band called Unknown Clothing?
Let's look it up. What do you think about Big City Dave and the Han Dynasty?
I don't like them.
And the Han was spelled like my last name.
Unknown Clothing. No, it doesn't look like there is a band called Unknown Clothing.
There is now, baby.
There's unknownclothing.us, but it doesn't look like it is anything.
Maybe we could get them to sponsor us.
It's possible.
I think we're basically there. We've got piano, drums, 2 singers, and a manager, and somebody that can play 4 to 6 guitar chords.
Yeah, that's all we need.
Somewhat well.
We'll probably have to hire some people.
Well, I got a buddy who plays guitar pretty well, so we can get him involved. He's doing nothing.
There you go.
Yeah.
What were your things you wanted to talk about?
I was joking. I don't know.
I've got Shorzy.
Okay.
Will Howard was named the starting quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Former K-Stater.
Okay.
You think that'll go well?
I think so, yeah.
That is quite a leap. K-State's very good.
Right.
But Ohio State is Ohio State.
I mean, but he went there for a reason.
Yeah, that's a jump, though. Do you think
they think they're ready for it.
Do you think he's going to be better at Ohio State than he was at K-State?
Well,
he's pretty good at K-State. But you got to be great to play quarterback at Ohio State.
Could you argue that he has better weapons?
Perhaps.
I mean, the weapons make a big difference for a lot of quarterbacks. Not all quarterbacks. Your Tom Brady's and Patrick Mahomes's of the world can do it with anybody, but...
I'm not going to doubt Ryan Day, his ability to evaluate quarterback and know who he wants in his system.
That's what I'm saying. Ohio State has had a lot of success for many years. They know what they're doing.
How worried are you about the Chiefs wide receiver situation with Rashee Rice facing a suspension and Hollywood Brown now injured?
I'm more worried about the Hollywood Brown injury, especially after the J.J. McCarthy news.
He's out for the year.
He's out for the year. I mean, anything can happen.
What is Hollywood Brown's injury specifically?
It was some shoulder thing that I think Tyreek was out for 4 weeks or something.
So if he's out for 4 weeks.
4 weeks is no big. And if Rice is out for the same 4 weeks, I guess, that could be a rough 4 weeks.
Could be a rough 4 weeks.
But the AFC West is terrible.
But you still have Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
You still have Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Pacheco. The West is terrible. They're fine.
You're sleeping on the.
Don't sleep on the Chargers.
I'm sleeping on the Chargers. I'm sleeping on the Chargers. I'm sound asleep. They are going to be what they are every year.
Oklahoma
a disappointment.
State.
Oklahoma State,
yeah,
that's right.
They have no fans, but the team's good.
I'm sleeping on
them. Not that good.
I'm soundly asleep.
They had the quarterback.
They've had him every year. They've only disappointed. They lost their best receiver. They're going with...
You know, I always said that Phillip Rivers loves to lose. It's his favorite thing to do. And I just assumed that was him, but really I think it's just the Chargers love to lose.
Yeah, you've never seen them do anything of note. They got to one Super Bowl with Stan Humphries, got their doors blown off.
Yeah, so
here we are.
I mean, I agree to an extent with Max that, yes, maybe the Chargers will be, but I'm not too concerned. I think the Chiefs will be fine.
Harbaugh's going to add to what they can do. I don't think Sean Payton can add to what Denver's going to do with Bo Nix or Zach Wilson or Jared Stidham at quarterback. It's not going to go well.
No, it's not.
All right, well, that's our show for the day. How do you feel it went?
I think it was one of our best ones yet.
When you tell your wife later, she'll ask, how'd it go? What will you say?
One of our best shows yet. I can't wait to do it again with Jeff next time.
That may never happen.
fair.
All right, thanks everyone for listening today. Thanks to Shelby Wehrman and to Greg Rubel, excuse me. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Bob will be back. Until then, have a good evening. See ya.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.